It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss. Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, the final Lightning Thursday before Christmas. Good morning, Bill. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Glad to be back. And Merry Christmas to the entire community. And I guess you're going to get my song queued up.
Well, yeah, I know exactly which song it is. It will be queued up for the end of Lightning.
All right.
Super. All right. Let's dispense with the niceties. Bill, we've got lots to cover this morning. A lot to cover.
Whew. Doggies. Yeah, it might be Christmas, but it doesn't stop us from being a pig and slop when it comes to politics again this week.
It absolutely doesn't. And let's dive into the slop right now. You just hit me with something that's on the the website, but it's not in print yet because it truly is hot off the presses. Yeah. Mark Meadows, tell us about this huge news from Congressman Mark Meadows.
Well, as we say, I got my phone started dinging before, a little after 6, but before 6:30 this morning with the news that sort of like, as some political tipsters are inclined to do, how come you don't have dot, 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 dot? Well, all the Washington media had the news that U.S. Representative Mark Meadows announced that he is not going to run for re-election. And then as soon as I checked my email for the name of the PR guy that sends out news releases, sure enough, it was there at 6:20 a.m. today. He did send out a news release. All the Washington Press Corps had it. Most of North Carolina media has it as well, that he announced, and now it's a little bit cryptic, but he announced in somewhat of a surprise that he's not going to run for re-election. I'm pretty sure he had said a while ago that he did plan to run for re-election. Lots of factors here. He sat through the impeachment process in the House, which he knows is not going to result in the removal of President Trump, who Mark Meadows is very close to. I mean, really, not just politically. They're friends. They're close. He was an early supporter. He is one of President Trump's strongest supporters. And the thing he says that makes everyone now say, well, it sounds like something could be coming from the White House sooner rather than later about Mr. Meadows' next chapter. And that is this statement that, quote, my work with President Trump and his administration is only beginning. This president has accomplished incredible results for the country in just 3 years. He's fully committed to staying in the fight with him. And this is something that I noted before we went on the air, that it's true. He's not just saying this now, but has always said, and the quote is, I've always said Congress is a temporary job. And he goes on to say, but the fight to return Washington, D.C. to its rightful owner, we the people, has only just begun. So, roll out your great mentioning or speculation. A while ago, as this Lightning story also recalls, just about a year ago, before the new acting chief of staff got in there, Meadows' name was among those.
Absolutely. I remember that well.
As a possible chief of staff. Obviously, President Trump would have plenty of important, essential campaign roles that he would want to fill with somebody very loyal. So who knows what it is, but that's the big news, I would say, right now at the top of our political scene.
So let me ask this, Bill. With that surprise news that just came out this morning, doesn't really give a whole lot of time for other people to file, does it?
About 10 hours. It ends filing. It's a great point. There will be a rush to the to Raleigh or to the end or to the county, the 17 or so counties of the 11th congressional district. There'll be a rush to qualify on the Republican side to qualify for to succeed Representative Meadows. So there's no doubt about it. Did Meadows give anybody a heads up that, who knows?
Right.
There's a lot to dig into on that point. It's a very good point.
So speaking of, and we'll get into more on these competitive races, but let's start with that race itself. Who so far has filed for Meadows' position?
We got three Democrats have already have filed for that. Gina Kalais, she's an attorney.
Yeah.
She's married to a doctor. She's been a real estate. She's had a real estate business, and she's been, I think, somewhat of a real estate developer as well. Which Mark Meadows was also.
Exactly.
She just announced this week, although she had filed a little bit earlier than that, announced this week she is running for the Democratic nomination. But the interesting thing, she has a son in Asheville. There's a family home in Asheville. That's where she says she's now living during the week while her son goes to school. But she has a permanent home in Kings Mountain and had been a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the 10th Congressional District before this last redraw.
Interesting.
So now we go back to that redistricting.
Yes.
And whether that was a factor in Meadows' decision, probably not. He probably would have been safe in any event. But who knows? That redistricting very significantly made Buncombe whole again, and that is a big blue source of blue of Democratic votes in a sea of red that is the rest of Western North Carolina and certainly Henderson County. So that seat becomes, at the very least, slightly more competitive, if not competitive, depending on what's happening, you know, in the overall national landscape. So you do have Ms. Kalais. You have Steve Woodsmall, who's been out campaigning for a long time from Pisgah Forest, and Mo Davis of Asheville, plus a Green Party candidate from Franklin. So
The
Democratic
just
field could be set. The Republican field, I can't guarantee much in politics, but I can almost guarantee you that will be more than one candidate by the time in just about 26 hours from now.
I was going to say, with only 10 hours to go, that's going to be really interesting in the next 10 hours to see what happens.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the rest of the day until noon tomorrow.
Until noon tomorrow, exactly. So let's stay on the other competitive races, because you got the full story here in this week's Lightning, and it starts right here on the cover. Competitive races take shape for legislature and school board.
And that hadn't been true. Yeah, we have as much as we could know as of press time, and then we've added some since then on HendersonvilleLightning.com. But we, as much as we could know as of press time on Tuesday about noon, and that story had changed in the last few days, where I was getting ready to write the story that, well, it looked like there might not be, and actually still might not be, any race at all for county commissioner, even though there's an open seat with the retirement of Grady Hawkins. But it looked like, were they even going to get four candidates for the four school board seats? And now that is up to six candidates, I think it is, with your incumbents Michael Absher and Blair Craven. And that is attracted the candidates Robert Bridges, who's a retired teacher, Walter Dowdy, Florence Albaugh, and now Stacey Caskey,
who ran
2 years ago, and that triggered our story saying that for the third election cycle in a row, there will be a Caskey on the ballot, because you might recall Brian Caskey, a Democrat now running for the state Senate, won in a little bit of a surprise, defeated the late Larry Freeman in the Mills River Town Council, and was just sworn in the other night as I think would be the first Democratic mayor pro tem of the town of Mills River. And so he's running, and we know he'll be in a primary, because he has two opponents for the Democratic nomination for the 48th Senate District. And Stacey will only be as a candidate for school board. There's no primary. There's no even if there's 12 candidates, there's still no primary. It's
okay.
Just a top vote. The top four vote getters. So she'll be on the November 3rd ballot of 2020. And Brian, her husband, if he wins the nomination, will also be on the ballot that same time. So two Caskeys will be on the ballot in 2020. Whether they'll be on the ballot in the same election is not knowable at this point.
Interesting.
So that's interesting that, and there, of course, as we mentioned, there's still time for a few more candidates, one more or more, to get into the school board race and these other races.
And let's talk about some of these other races also that you have here, the other competitive races.
Well, that's exactly right. So far, State Senator Chuck Edwards, the Republican incumbent seeking a third term, I'm pretty sure, has no opponent in the primary, but a pretty sizable group trying to get that nomination, which includes Brian Caskey, Crystal Figueroa, who's a native of Henderson County, and Naja Underwood of Hendersonville have also filed for the Democratic nomination to challenge Edwards.
Hmm.
So we'll see how that goes, and we'll have a not a rematch, but we'll have Sam Edney running again for the House District 113 seat. Sam Edney out of Pisgah Forest was a Democratic nominee last time in 2018 versus Cody Henson. And now Edney, if nothing changes, because neither one of them has a primary opponent, it could be Edney versus the new, also young, also still the youngest member, but not the same one, of the state House, Jake Johnson, from Saluda.
Wow. So that's 130. What about District 117?
And then in District 117, you've got a primary there with Dennis Justice running against, so far, running against Tim Moffitt, who was a House member, remember, from Buncombe County, although Tim Moffitt is from here. He's a graduate of West Henderson High School. He's now moved back to the county and would like to represent that district that has been represented very ably for the past five terms by State Representative Chuck McGrady, who has decided at last to retire after last couple cycles, thinking that he'd like to, and others kind of talked him out of it. But there was no talking him out of retiring the third time it came around. So Chuck will be leaving. We'll be left with one Chuck there in the state House instead of two. So that, and on the Democratic side, so far without an opponent is Josh Remillard, the U.S. Army veteran we talked about last week from Mills River, who has filed for the seat as well.
So, Bill, before we go on our break, this is setting us up for a very interesting 2020 from a political standpoint. And it's going to start earlier this year because the primary, the North Carolina primary, has been moved up to March the 3rd. Can we talk just a little bit about that, the reasonings for moving that primary to March the 3rd? I understand it will put North Carolina in a more interesting or more powerful position when it comes to the national election in November.
Well, that's really the only reason I've ever heard for it.
Okay.
I don't know if it puts. I'm not sure that puts us on Super Tuesday. I think it might. And if that's true, let's go to the past. What's happened in the past is that North Carolina's influence on the nominee of either party, Democratic Party or Republican Party, has been negligible for the very fact that the primary was in May, when generally candidates on either side had enough votes and enough primary wins for the nomination, or were so far ahead that it looked as if it was a certainty, and it was no longer close. So this will make North Carolina, it should give North Carolina more influence. And what will that mean? That means we'll see presidential campaigning here, and
Absolutely.
Presidential rallies and presidential campaign visits. We will. And we would have from President Trump, I think, no matter what, because he actually in 2016 he came to North Carolina a lot. In 2020 he will come to North Carolina a lot, maybe more even than 4 years ago, because North Carolina is said to be purple. We'll see if that's there's been years when it has not been the case, but it's close enough to be considered a swing state for sure.
Interesting. So does this mean that from now on, all primaries going forward will be in March rather than May, or was that for just this one, or is that something that can be decided every time there's an election?
Oh, it can be decided.
Okay.
This, if nothing else, this legislature in fighting with this this Republican legislature, in fighting with this Democratic governor, and in fighting all the way through about the makeup and duties and responsibilities of the State Board of Elections, if they've shown nothing else, they've shown that they can change things for good reason or not, many times, no matter what.
Yeah, very true. All right, you're listening to Lightning Thursday here on The Q. We'll be back in just a bit.
Fletcher Park Inn, an independent Christian retirement community located on 450 beautiful acres across from Park Ridge Hospital, is the best-kept secret in Hendersonville for retirement living. Not a nursing home, Fletcher Park Inn residents enjoy independent living in spacious villas and apartments. Fletcher Park Inn offers everything you need to remain independent, alcohol and tobacco-free. This Christian retirement community welcomes you to visit in person or online at FletcherParkInn.com and see what all the fuss is about. Fletcher Park Inn, now that's retirement living.
Tempo Music Center stays so busy after the holidays, fixing stuff that people bought on the internet for Christmas. Why shop online when Tempo is stocked for the holidays? And they're here after the sale if you have any issues. Great gift ideas from Tempo? How about songbooks, guitar strings, cases, stands, and accessories? If it's musical, Tempo either has it or can get it. Happy holidays from Tempo Music on Main Street, your holiday music destination.
Welcome to Wag Pet Boutique. Oh, hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Caroline. Guess what? I just adopted a dog from Blue Ridge Humane Society.
Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. I'm so happy for you.
So, look, I need a leash and a dog bowl and a pet bed and some treats.
Well, hold on, hold on. Every dog is an individual, so let's just pick out a couple of things now, and as you get to know your new best friend, we'll help you pick out exactly what your dog needs.
That's great advice. I'm so glad I came to Wag first.
Well, we're always happy to see you, Brian. Tell your friends to come visit us at Wag Pet Boutique on Main Street in historic downtown Hendersonville.
Winter holidays are a time for family and friends to gather together, but that also means a greater risk for fire. This holiday season, the Hendersonville Fire Department would like to remind you to blow out candles when you leave the room and turn off all lights and decorations before leaving home or going to bed.
Have a safe and happy holiday season from all of us at the Hendersonville Fire Department.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of Makita tools and your Makita authorized service repair center with a complete line of Makita cordless outdoor power equipment, chainsaws, blowers, string trimmers, hedge trimmers, lawn mowers, and more. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 till noon, Lewis Williams & Sons. Online at lewiswilliams.com.
And we are back with Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Let's dive back in, Bill, and let's stay on politics somewhat. Last week, the Flat Rock Village Council had their swearing in of their three new members and new mayor, and got to work pretty early.
That they did. That's exactly right. There was time to say thank you very much to Mayor Bob. Thank you very,
very
much
well
to John, to John Dockendorf.
Another.
And to Ginger Brown, and was that the and Mayor Weedman was the other one. And
right.
Move up, Mayor Weedman. Say thank you, Mayor Bob. Then he left. They gaveled to order the new Flat Rock Village Council, and they took care of some kind of procedural, regular, routine appointments of various duties that each council member would have. Newly sworn in Mayor Nick Weedman asked, did anybody have any new business, and then of course the queen of the big yellow taxi caucus, Ann Coletta, spoke up and said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. We have a resolution to ask the North Carolina Department of Transportation to please drop the Highland Lake Road improvement project. So there was discussion about that. Several of the candidates, including Cheryl Jamerson, Paige Posey was one of them, had some very thoughtful, I thought, whether persuasive or not to this council, but points in defense of it, saying it was justified, it was needed, it had been compromised to a fairly well, you might say, to make it less disruptive and not harmful to the character of historic Flat Rock. But so did Tom Carpenter. Had, I thought, some really good points about the actual rating of this road's safety and the need for this project. I think Tom Carpenter said he had been to 81 meetings or participated in 81 meetings or conference calls, many of them involving NCDOT engineers who were the expert in all this stuff. And the bottom line for him was it's not needed. He said it's in his opinion, it was unethical and immoral to actually take property by condemnation for a road that is, in his view, unnecessary. So They discuss it. They debate. It passes 4-3, and that's where it sits at the moment. Although we have some follow-up on HendersonvilleLightning.com as to the next step and what's likely to happen.
Can you tell us what those next steps are? Can you
goes to the? I think it will take a pass through the county transportation advisory committee and. I believe that's Wednesday, January 2nd. It will go the next day to the French Broad MPO. I do not have before me an agenda that shows whether or not it will also be before that French Broad MPO, which is the critical meeting. I do not have an agenda in front of me that says whether or not the Hendersonville City Council and or the Henderson County Board of Commissioners may or may not take it up and say, We re-endorse this road project, or we endorse this new opinion of the Flat Rock Village Council. Don't know that, but both of those things are possible. That both of those bodies could take it up and make a decision one way or the other. But critically, the authoritative vote to spend money or not to approve a project or reject a project is the transportation planning, coordinating body, which is the French Broad MPO. That's
okay.
Under state law.
Okay.
That's under the NCDOT policy. I don't think this project involves federal money, but you got anything from the 6 and 8 laning of I-26 to the Balfour Parkway to whatever you want to talk about. If it doesn't get the stamp of approval from the French Broad MPO and then ultimately the North Carolina Board of Transportation, then no check gets written. So then finally, that's where it ends up. Even the French Broad MPO is essentially itself a recommendation, though one with strong authority to it, to go to the North Carolina Board of Transportation, which the Lightning covered this. Lightning's the only media that ever covers reports all the way to the ground on something like that. We actually attended the North Carolina Transportation Board meeting when they killed the Balfour Parkway. So
yep.
That's the process. If it makes it all the way through there, and given how hard this slate of four candidates has worked on this, has campaigned on, and how much they believe that they campaigned on something and successfully campaigned on something, I think they would feel, and I have no reason to say why this is not true, that they're really obligated to push this. I mean, that's the way they feel. That won the vote, that position. And no one can say there was anything as important as the Highland Lake Road project in that election. There's no way to say that there was some side issue that mattered. There might have been some slight relationships here and there, but that's what mattered in the Flat Rock Village election. So that's what will matter to this slate that now has that 4-3 majority.
You mentioned Hendersonville City Council taking a vote, and the reason why they have a voice is because part of that road project is city property.
Oh, yeah, and part is Henderson County as well.
And part is
three
yeah.
jurisdictions.
Okay.
Yeah, and Brian Birch, the NCDOT engineer, confirmed that they have, I don't know, I don't know whether you can parse the percentage of authority or the fraction of authority that each one of those bodies might be interpreted to have on that, whether it's equal or whether, obviously, the dominant part of it is I don't think anybody could argue that the dominant part of the project is in the village of Flat Rock.
Right.
But you get beyond the railroad tracks, you get to the intersection there, the Ingalls CVS intersection. That's in the city because it has city water and sewer.
Right, right.
And then there's a little section. I think it's between that annexed for commercial and water and sewer reasons. City property. There's a little section that's Henderson County before you get to the village of Flat Rock.
Wow. Very interesting. We'll stay on that story. Let's touch on a few more stories before we finish Lightning Thursday today, and let's stay on roads. I'm going to read this exactly as it is written. The headline, Greenville Highway could reopen this week. Bill Phillips.
And I'm honestly must say I'm already starting to regret that. Starting to regret that headline a little bit.
Okay.
And I thought about it as we were putting out this issue. I said, why should I, what am I, Lucy in the football? I mean, it's really a Charlie Brown, Lucy, and the football headline, I'm sorry to admit. But this comes from, again, Brian Birch, the top. He's called the division engineer. That means he's the top engineer for Division 14, the 10-county Western North Carolina region that includes Henderson County. So I said, I'm just going to go to the horse's mouth on this and say, Mr. Birch, will this open? And he had been out there the day before I talked to him. He talked about the paving getting close to being done, the signs being erected, the paving being strapped, and it won't look completely finished, you know, with all the landscaping and grass grown and so forth. But said it looks doable to him. I actually ended up talking when I was at Ed DeVille yesterday to Commissioner Bill Lapsley, the civil engineer, who also had recently been out there, and he said the same thing, that they looked like they were close. Well, being close and being finished, as we know, aren't always exactly the same thing.
Right.
And what do we have now? Cold weather.
Yeah.
That probably puts the, I mean, I'm not an asphalt engineer, but I know, and I did talk to both those engineers about that, and they said, yeah, you're really talking about, you'd like it to be like 50 and rising, and I'm not sure I see any 50 and rising forecast coming up in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
So, sorry to say, the best way for people to treat that headline, I think, is because you know we're a weekly, right? So we have a shelf life of a week. So I'd say they should start, they should keep their lightning and keep this story on page three around until Sunday, and then they can read it and say, Greenville Highway could reopen this week.
This week. Exactly.
And we could say, or could reopen before Christmas, not saying which Christmas.
Bill. All right. Let's get
more than one Christmas.
There's more than one Christmas. All right. Let's get out of this rabbit hole and let's move on to some exciting news for Henderson County Public Schools. Yesterday was the ribbon cutting and for the new Eddyville Elementary School.
Oh, it was a great. It was probably the best celebration of politics working out right that we've seen around here since the five-party agreement resulted in the health sciences building on the Pardee campus of Henderson County, City of Hendersonville, Wingate University, BRCC, and Pardee. It was many moving parts. It was not just the county commission and the school board, although those were the critical elected bodies that came together at last in, I think, early 2017 to agree to build this school. They really got the Eddyville, that's not true. The Eddyville community sort of got them on board. It's the parents, the Eddyville community, that were the advocates and the leaders in a civic sense that asked for it very strongly, not in a rude way, very strongly said why the current school, which is almost 50 years old, is not adequate and is not good for the children. And pretty soon the idea of renovating that old school was discarded and said, we're going to build a new school. And then that almost got bid up to be, it is a model elementary school that it is awesome, as people said. People will be awed. I was awed being in it. The community gym, you know how a lot of elementary school gyms, you go into them, and I mean, they have a high ceiling and all, but there's something about them that looks miniature.
Yeah.
This gym looks like it could be a high school gym.
Wow.
For games. It could be.
And I read in the Lightning that it's going to be more than just the gym for the elementary school.
No, it's a community gym that will be really jointly operated by the Henderson County school system, and certainly on nights and weekends when available by the Henderson County Parks and Recreation Department.
Yeah.
So you're talking basketball leagues, volleyball, I would assume. I mean, anything, I would say, you know, maybe they put mats in there for yoga, exercise, for elderly, any number of things that makes that, and there's this terrific Eddyville Yellow Jacket insignia right in the middle of the floor, like where you have on a basketball court. And we have the quotes from Sheriff Lowell Griffin, an Eddyville native, one of the I came over on the Mayflower.
Came
up the Rocky Broad on a Mayflower family from Doc Case, the beloved Edneyville High School teacher for almost 50 years out there, and now a school board member, talking about how this is a little bit of a make good. It's a little bit of a make good for taking our school away in the late 1980s, early 1990s, taken away the Edneyville High School, which was much more in the heart of Apple Country, and generations had gone there to Edneyville High School, and they took it away. People and now almost still uniformly think it shouldn't have been done that
right,
way.
Right, people and not over
renamed
that.
It North instead of Edneyville, made them Knights, made the mascot a Knight.
Instead of the Yellow Jacket.
Instead of a Yellow Jacket. So you can still see the old Edneyville Yellow Jacket insignia that people in the Apple Country are accustomed to and have a fondness for. Now you can go look at that and play in it.
And these Edneyville Elementary students and teachers get them a Christmas present because they go on Christmas break going to one school and come back from Christmas break going to another school, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's
it is
interesting.
Christmas. And there was actually one other actual Christmas present right now that was presented U.S. Senator Tom Tillis's Western North Carolina brought a United States flag that had flown over the Capitol in honor of the new Edneyville Elementary School. He brought that and presented that to the Edneyville children. And that was another great feature is that they had hundreds of Edneyville Elementary School students there at the ribbon cutting.
Fantastic. Let's stay on a positive note for our last story, even though there's still so much more in this week's Lightning. Arabella. New breakfast and brunch place downtown.
Yeah, absolutely. Another only in the Lightning. This guy, his name is Mike Santa Cruz. He has been for the past several years a pretty high-ranking cookout executive, like a regional operations manager that went all over Tennessee and North Carolina and South Carolina, but was always based, he and his wife and their two little children here in Hendersonville area, in the Canoga area. That's where he lived. Got tired of 80, 90-hour work weeks and did pretty well, he said, pay-wise in that job, and saved up his money and has now invested in the old Cask and Wine. The Cask and Wine last too long.
Yep.
But that spot on Main Street, I think it might be a niche that could just work because I'm not sure we have that. Brunch and breakfast,
specifically,
on Main Street. So I think it's, I think the hours are 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Read it in the story. It's in the Lightning. You'll read more about the menu. You read more about, will they have booze? Yep, they'll have craft beer. They'll have wine, and they will have the usual breakfast cocktails such as your mimosa, Bloody Mary, screwdriver, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Mid to late January, look for Arabella.
Fantastic. Bill, there's still so much more in this week's Lightning, which is on the streets and in the mailboxes today. Where can people pick up their copy?
All around Henderson County, in any of our Lightning Orange racks or dealer partners, such as coffee shops or supermarkets, or by going to hendersonvillelightning.com and clicking on that red tab that enables them to get all access to the website and the print version and join the growing legions of Lightning fans to get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday. Or by calling Jan at 698-0407, or by coming to see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
Bill, your top Christmas song is coming up in just a little bit after the break, and we have to say Merry Christmas to you and the entire Lightning family, and we'll talk to you again next year.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This and other episodes of Lightning Thursday are available via podcast at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. Lightning Thursday is brought to you weekly by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.